All right. Well, I have to tell you, you know, I love shrimp, and I was out at a seafood restaurant the other night. I know that surprises you. And, you know, everything that's going on is kind of crazy, and a fight breaks out in the middle of the seafood restaurant. It was crazy. There was battered fish everywhere. Did I mention Sheriff Chitwood's here? It's all right. I don't need your approval. So here's the story. We left off. We talked about chapter 5 last week where Joshua runs into the angel of the Lord, takes off his sandal, makes a deal, a covenant with God. And they're going to take the city of Jericho. And God says, here's how we're going to do it. You're going to take the army, march around the city once and go back and go to bed. Do that for 6 days. Seventh day, we'll go around 7 times, blow the trumpet, walls will come down, you take the city. There's an old saying throughout history that to the victor goes the spoils. That is correct. That means you take whatever you want when you conquer the country. However, Israel was not conquering the country. These are not warriors. They got a choir and they got a few trumpets, right? Ram's horns. They are not warriors. God is the one that is conquering Jericho. So God says one thing, just like we talk to our children. He says, don't take anything. No plunder. All right. Now, if you're a teacher, you're a parent, you say things like that. You say, don't touch that. Well, you didn't say the spoon. Okay, don't touch the spoon or the fork or this. God said, don't mess with it. A guy named Achan shows up, and I don't think Achan did this on purpose. I don't think he set out to break God's covenant. I don't think he set out and planned ahead of time what he was going to do. But as they're going through, after the walls have fallen down, they conquer the city, Achan finds a bunch of silver, a round piece of gold, and a fancy robe from Babylon. Now, you're fortunate to have me because I did the homework for you. Everything they found in today's money is worth about $65,000. Here's my question. What's your soul worth? What are you willing to sell your soul for? Well, not for $65,000. Okay, so now we're just haggling about price. What's your soul really worth? Well, I can tell you what the scripture says. Your soul was so important that God sent his son to die on a cross for you. That's how important your soul is. But I know people, I talk to them every day, that are selling their souls for a boat, for an RV, for another woman, for another man, for a drug, for alcohol, you name it. Now, I don't think they sat down and signed a contract, so I'd like to sign my soul away. 1979, I'm a sophomore in high school. Charlie Daniels came out with a song about a shiny fiddle made of gold. So I looked that up for you, too. You know what a shiny fiddle made of gold is worth? $656,000. So is your soul for sale now? $656,000? Is that enough? What is my soul really worth? See, that's the question that we're going to debate today and the impact that choices have on each one of us. There's a cathedral in England. I don't know. I don't remember whether it's... I didn't look. Catholic, Episcopalian, doesn't matter. Whatever it is. The head preacher, priest, whatever he is, decided that he was going to reach kids, so he put a putt-putt golf course inside the cathedral. And I'm like, why didn't I think of that? And so I'm looking around thinking where we could put the greens. And so, of course, the crazy guy comes out of the woodwork and says, this is nuts. This is terrible. Don't you dare call that a cathedral. Really? Okay. So you probably haven't had a child in that building for 50 years. You got a way to get children in the building. Tell them about Jesus. See, it's not a cathedral, folks. It's concrete. It's a building. It's a building. You and I, we're the hands and feet of Jesus. We're the heart of Jesus, all right? So we're not here to be a cathedral. We're here to be a rescue center. There is a huge difference between the two, all right? We're not here to be your traditional church. There's plenty of those. You know what? They're dying. They're dying. Because nobody's reaching out to the next generation. Nobody's caring about kids and young families. Nobody's willing to interact with the culture and do things for teachers. Hey, that's why we're here. I think that's what Jesus had in mind, is that we're supposed to continue to work outside of ourselves. But here's the point of everything we're talking about today, is that choices have consequences. Choices that churches make, they have great consequences. Choices that you make, they have great consequences. They have consequences on you, your family, your friends, your neighbors. You know what? Everything I do, somebody's watching. I know that. I'm used to it. I just live with it. All right? You want to have fun? Come with me to Walmart. All right? Just schedule some extra time. All right? It's okay. It's all right. Comes with the territory. And every day I wear a black shirt because it's easy, and it says Tomoka Christian Church. Number one, it's for advertising. Number two, it's to hold me accountable. Just in case they don't know, I want you to know. And they'll say, "Are you the pastor?" "Yes, I am." You know, a friend of mine said the other day, it's not like hard to get into a conversation like this, but a friend of mine said, "Oh, you can't drink because you're a pastor." And I said, "No, you misunderstand. I can drink. I choose not to drink." He said, "What?" I said, "I choose not to drink because of the impact it has on other people." I said, "Because if I can have one, I just told somebody else they can have 10, and those 10 are going to destroy their marriage, or it's going to destroy their lives, or they're going to have a wreck and hurt somebody else. And so I choose not to." What do you do with that? The room got real quiet. The other two services, too. It's okay. It's all right. But choices, they have great, great impact. And listen, my kids, flawed. All of our kids, they're flawed. And you know what? I can't help what my kids choose to do, but I did decide that they wouldn't learn certain things from me. I can't tell you that my neighbors aren't going to do some things they shouldn't, but I would rather they don't learn them from me. And while they may not be looking at me, they are looking at you because they know you're a Christian. They know you're at church today. So how do you live? How do you talk? What choices do you make? See, those choices, they get us. They make us every time. And good and bad. In this story, I'm going to get around to reading the passage to you. But if you go back in chapter 6, there's another story about a lady. Her name was Rahab. Anybody know that story? No time to unpack that one today. Rahab was a prostitute. She was a non-believer that lived in Jericho. And because she helped out the Israeli spies, we can talk another time about why the Israeli spies were at the prostitute's house, but not today. But God told her, because she helped the people, that everybody that was in her house when the walls fell would be protected. And I showed you last week a picture of the wall. One piece of that wall still standing 3,400 years later, and it's a wall that's got a little house built to the side of it. And he said, anybody that's in the house will be spared. Do you trust mama? Do you trust grandma? Get in the house. Everybody was blessed by a choice. Everybody also can be cursed by a choice. And when we read this passage, you're going to immediately want to judge God. Well, don't judge God. Understand that God takes sin very seriously. All right? Stand out of respect for God's word. Chapter 7, verse 19. This is the end of the story. All right? So then Joshua said to Achan, by the way, his name means troubler, "My son, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and honor him. Tell me what you've done. Do not hide it from me." Achan replied, "It's true. I've sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. This is what I have done. When I saw the plunder, a beautiful robe from Babylon, 200 shekels of silver, a bar of gold weighed about a pound and a quarter, I coveted them and took them. They're hidden in the ground inside my tent with the silver underneath." So Joshua sent messengers and they ran to the tent, and there it was, hidden in the tent with silver underneath. They took the things from the tent. They brought them to Joshua and all the Israelites, and they spread them out before the Lord. Because whose were the spoils? They were the Lord's. Then Joshua, together with all Israel, took Achan, the silver, the robe, the bar of gold, his sons, daughters, cattle, donkeys, sheep, his tent, and everything he had to the valley of Achor, the valley of trouble. Joshua said, "Why have you brought this trouble on us, you troubler? The Lord will bring trouble on you today." Then all Israel stoned him, and after they stoned the rest, they burned him. Now, just for the record, once you stoned me to death, burning seems a bit excessive. God's trying to make a point here, okay? Over Achan, they heaped up a large pile of rocks, which remains to this day. Then the Lord turned from his fierce anger. Therefore, that place has been called the Valley of Achor ever since. You can be seated. Now, you can get mad at God and say, well, this is wrong. I mean, it's one thing for Achan to pay a price, but there were men in the military who died because of Achan's choice. Why should the wife die? Why should the children die? They probably knew what was going on. Okay, PETA activist. Why the sheep and cattle? God is making a point that bad decisions impact not only you, but they impact everyone around you. So do good choices. You teachers know this rule. Speaking, when people say something bad, it takes 10 positive comments to turn around that one bad. And I'm not even sure that turns it around, because I can tell you from myself, I can have 4,000 people here and you could all tell me, great, loved it, etc. Somebody says something negative to me, guess what I'll go home with? I have 4,000 positives. But I go home and go, You know what? I was that guy for a long time. And I decided I didn't want to be that way anymore. I wanted to be the guy that was the positive. I wanted to be the one that was putting the good stuff in. I wanted to be the guy that was making the good choices. Now, you know what? Sometimes I do better than others. But there are consequences to the choices. If I choose to speak well of others, if I choose to tear people down, if I choose to do the right thing, if I choose to... There's always consequences to be paid. And I ask you, what is your soul worth? Jesus told you what your soul was worth him giving his life for. But you got to decide what your soul's worth. Is there a price on it? Is there a price you could be bought for? Is there a shiny enough robe? Is there enough gold? Is there enough power? Is there enough whatever? Is it that other woman, that other man? What is it that you would sell your soul for? But please know this, there are always consequences. Proverbs 14 says there's a way that looks right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. But it looks so right to me, but in the end it leads to death. And sadly, those consequences bleed over. I mean, let's take a look at what's happening. And listen, this is not a political commentary. There's plenty of blame for everybody in these situations in Texas and Ohio. Talked to a lady last night that actually lives in the area of Dayton where the shooting happened. She was here. She happened to be out of town when that happened. There's plenty of blame to go around. But let me cover one part of the story that nobody has covered. Okay? We can blame people. We can blame guns. We can blame words. We can blame inaction. We can blame Congress. 1963, we took prayer out of school. 1963, we took God out of school. 1963, we made it unconstitutional to have the Ten Commandments in school. You can't even post them on the wall, because obviously that would adversely influence someone and cause some child to lose his mind and not kill someone. Now, I'm not making light of this, but I want you to follow the logic. So we've raised children now, and I was born in 63. But we've raised children. We've told them there's no God. We've told them there is no moral absolutes. We've told them there's really no truth to any of this. You're just protoplasm that crawled up on the side of the walk and somehow lightning struck you. And here you are. And really, you can do whatever you want. You do whatever you want with your own body, your life. You do whatever you want. So here's my question. On what basis do you tell someone it's wrong to shoot someone if you don't have a moral foundation? You say, well, that's wrong. Everybody knows that. Apparently not. Apparently not, because what if it seems right to me? You see, in my day, everybody had guns. All my kids, all my friends brought them to school. They were in their truck. They didn't even lock their trucks. Nobody ever got shot because there was a moral foundation. Even if you didn't go to church, it didn't matter. There was still a God. There were still rules. You respect. In fact, if I'd have disrespected my teacher, the teacher would have spanked me, the principal would have spanked me, and then probably my mom would have met me coming out of the door of the school. It was a different time, right? But once you strip away God, creation, a moral foundation, you say, well, the school board met and came up with these rules, but the school board's already taught the kids that they don't need to listen to rules because there is no moral absolute. By the way, that statement, there is no moral absolute, is a moral absolute. That's free. That's the thing, that's the crazy stuff that goes on. So what do? You and I have to reverse that. Can I fix the whole world? I doubt it. Can I start with my circle? Maybe. How about me? How about I just start with me? Then we'll branch out to my family. Maybe I'll branch out to my business, my school. Maybe I'll branch out to my church, my community. We'll slowly get there. But it's got to start somewhere where we get the values back that you are a precious gift of God. You are created in the image of God, and so's everybody else. And therefore, God says, don't take innocent life. Right? But choices we make, they influence not only me, but they influence a lot of other people. So, sadly, when people do crazy things, a lot of innocent people get hurt in the process. Maybe you're one of those innocent people. Maybe you're sitting here grieving because of a shooter. Maybe you're grieving because of someone else's choice for suicide. Maybe you're grieving because of somebody else's choice to be an alcoholic. I don't know. But I know this. Nobody makes choices in a vacuum. When you make a choice, it either builds somebody else up or it tears somebody else down. Not just you, but everybody else in the process. And so King Solomon said in the last two verses of Ecclesiastes, he said, after we've talked about everything there is to talk about, and surely we've done that in our culture, haven't we? We've talked it to death. After everything has been said, here's the thought. Fear God and keep His commandments. But we've already eliminated God and a righteous respect for Him and His commandments from our culture. Honestly, from a lot of churches, which is really tragic. Fear God and keep His commandments. So my choices, they impact me. My choices, they impact my family. My choices impact my nation. Because as that one choice goes, it's a ripple effect. It's always a ripple effect. Every great revival that's happened in America started with one person, with one church, with one town, and then from there things happened. By the same token, one bad decision has brought the culture into a mess that it's in now. So what do? Well, we start with where we are. We can't go back. We can sit and bemoan 1963 all we want, but 1963 is gone, so here we are. What are we going to do in 2019? What choices am I going to make? What choices are you going to make? Because that choice to follow through with that affair is going to be painful. The choice to follow through with those drugs is going to be painful. The choice for you to go out and do something dumb is going to have painful consequences. And those consequences won't just be on you. They'll be on your wife, your husband, your family. They'll be on your school. They'll be on your community. All those choices. So what are we supposed to learn from this? Well, God takes His word very seriously. And just like when I say to my kids, don't touch that stove, it's hot. Achan found that out. Achan found out that there's a huge price to pay when you disobey the Word of God. For some reason, all right, here's our problem, okay? Because the judgment is slower for us, we don't always get it. See, for Achan, that's pretty swift, right? So if you're there and you're in the rest of the nation, you're like, dude, don't want that happen to me. But for us, our hand is on the stove and the heat just gets turned up a little bit at a time, and so we don't feel it. But stoned to death, then they burned him, and then they piled up rocks. He's into rocks, isn't he? Right? Rocks everywhere. Why are those rocks there? So when they walk by, you can tell your kids, this is what happened to Achan because he disobeyed God. There's a message for you, right? Just like the other rocks were there to remember that God opened up the Jordan, those rocks were there to say, hey, God takes His word very seriously. So I don't know where you're at. I don't know what I'm not reading your mail. I don't have to. Your mail looks just like mine. So all I know is our choices impact a lot of people. So what choice are you going to make today? For some of you, you need to accept Jesus. That's people in the blue shirts. We're all here. We'll pray with you. We'll answer your questions. We'll baptize you. There's a baptism next week at the ocean. We'll do it today. Some of you need to break off something. Some of you need to fix something before it gets out of hand. I don't know. But I read this story last week. A guy was flying on Hawaiian Airlines, and there was a drunk passenger on board. Now, I'm guessing this is a fairly regular occurrence for any airline, but especially Hawaiian Airlines. And they had to make an unscheduled stop. And here's why I love the story. They billed the guy $172,000 because that's what it cost the airline for them to put that plane down and put it back in the air. So they billed him $172,000. Now, here's what I got when I read that story, because I do this every single day of my life. I said to myself, that guy got off really cheap. Most people, it cost them their marriage, or it cost them their lives, or it cost somebody else their lives. He got off for $172,000. He really won. I don't know what choice you're looking at today. I just want to remind you that they have consequences. And what's your soul worth? Well, Jesus said it was worth dying for you. So don't sell it. Don't sell it cheap. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to break open your word today. I thank you for the chance to laugh together, to cry together. And I pray that you would move mightily amongst us as we maybe for the first time actually think about the choice we're about to make instead of just making it. That we would make good choices, because the consequences will have a great ripple effect. In Jesus' name.